Why? That's a question that children ask a lot, particularly around the age of 3 to 5. There's a curiosity that children exhibit as they seek to understand the world around them. Now, the problem is that even the greatest answer to a why question can be followed up by another why question. And then another one, and then another one, until you get to the stage where you say, well, it just is. But as you grow up, it seems that we kind of slow down in asking questions. We kind of settle for things as they are. And maybe this is helpful for us to function, maybe to function and to live and to pay the bills and everything else. Maybe there's not as much time to question as there is when you're a child. One of the things I love about the Alpha Course is that opportunity to ask questions and ask big questions and deep questions that maybe life seems to just squash our opportunity to think about things. This morning we're going to look at Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we're going to ask some good questions that will help us to seek to understand Jesus and our own lives and the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I hope you've had your Weetabix this morning, because we're going to do a little bit of theology, okay? We don't often do some deep theology, but we're going to do a bit to think. So if you need to get up and stretch, I don't know how you stretch your brain muscles, but if you need to, go for it, okay? This is the third part of our God's Empowering Presence series, where we're looking at God, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look this morning at Luke 4. And this is just before Jesus begins his public ministry. For the first 30 years of Jesus' life, aside from his birth, he went under the radar. We know very little about Jesus' early life. Don't know what school he went to. We don't actually know what job he did. He was a carpenter, he was trained, but did he do that all the time? Did he do something else? We don't know. But we come to Luke 4, and this is the moment just before he begins his public ministry, just before he steps out of the shadow and into the light. And it says this, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from..." "from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory. For it has been delivered to me and I give it to whom I will. If you will then worship me, it will all be yours.' Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve.' And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." Let's pray. Father, we want to understand more about you. We desire to grow in our knowledge and our experience of you. We want to understand more about Jesus, understand more about the Holy Spirit, understand more about the Trinity. And we pray this morning, Lord, would you give us minds to understand. Lord, would you help us to understand what you're saying? Lord, we don't want to just do theology in a vacuum, but Lord, we want to pray that this would be belief that would transform our lives and lead us on in your mission. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question I want to ask this morning, to start with, is how did Jesus do it? At Christmas, we celebrate that God, the eternal God, who existed outside of time and eternity, entered our world and became a child. It's funny, isn't it, when we look at our nice nativity scenes, actually, there are a lot of questions to be answered looking at God becoming man. God took upon himself all of the limitations of being a human being. He was not like Superman, just clothed in human flesh, waiting to reveal God. He was fully human. It wasn't just like a onesie that he put on, a human onesie, but underneath. He was fully human. Cut his arm, he'd bleed. He needed sleep. But he was also fully God. And this thing, fully human, fully God, there's a word called heresy. And heresy is about a false belief, something that does not align with what's in the Bible. And many of the heresies of the early church just centered around Jesus' nature, this fully human and fully God. And the creeds of the church, the one that we sung this morning, I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. It was written down to teach what is in this Bible. There is no point in the Bible that you can open it up, your index at the back or somewhere written down, and it says, you need to believe this, 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 this. No, it's a story. God's revealed himself in a story. And the creeds were written so that those who maybe didn't have access to a Bible could say, actually, this is what I believe. And this is what's within the Bible. And there's a number of creeds, and I'm not going to go through the history of that this morning. But there was one in Chalcedonian from 451, and it describes this nature. Describes Jesus as being one person, but two natures. Fully God, fully man. And they use this thing, this word, which I don't think if you've ever been in church you would have heard before. Maybe some of you would have. Consubstantial, meaning of the same substance and the same essence. So Jesus was the same substance and the same essence as God the Father, but also the same substance and the same essence as humanity. These two natures are inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably united together, but both nature is fully preserved. That's what the creed of Chalcedon said. So our question, how did Jesus do it, relates to his life and death. Jesus was fully human. How did he release those oppressed from demons? Many demons, legions of demons. How did he heal the sick? How did he raise the dead? In John 9, when a man was healed from blindness that he had from birth, he said this. He said, never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. Or we look at his ability to overcome temptation, which we read about in our passage. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, the high priest, who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every way has been tempted as we are. In every way. Yet, a big difference. Big difference between him and me and you and everyone else. Yet, without sin. Jesus was tempted here, and he was tempted at other times in his life. This is not the only three times Jesus was tempted, and then... And even as we look at the cross and Jesus resting in the garden with what lay before him, we're told he sweated profusely as he considered the physical, not just the physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering, the spiritual weight of taking on the sins of the world. And he submits to God and says, not your will be done. Not my will be done. Not they are. Not my will be done, but yours. As Jesus took upon himself humanity, he accepted what Erickson, a theologian, called circumstance-induced limitation on his exercise on power and capacities. God is omnipresent. Jesus couldn't be omnipresent because he was fully human. He existed in a time and place. God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. He knows all things. Jesus was a baby. He didn't know all things. He had to grow. The Bible talks about him growing in knowledge. So how did Jesus do these things? How did Jesus do some of those miracles? How did he confront temptation and live a victorious life? We see in this passage that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. It says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus' coming showed a new age was dawning. In the Old Testament, if you weren't here last week, listen online. We looked at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Dad did a fantastic job with that. But in the Old Testament, it was only specific people at specific times who were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And yet, when Jesus is born, and before he's born, everyone who seems to be involved in that story is filled with the Spirit. Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist is filled with the Spirit. Zechariah is filled with the Spirit. Mary is filled with the Spirit. Simeon. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And now the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Jesus responds each time with scripture. It was very clear that Jesus had understood. He had come to understand what was in the Bible. Even when Satan quotes scripture at Jesus, twice, two scriptures, he quotes at Jesus to try and make Jesus do what he wants him to do. Even when he does that, Jesus responds with other scripture that disarms Satan. I found this slide. I was looking for Know Your Bible. And I like this phrase, weapons training. You know, if you had to go to war, there's wars around the world, aren't there? And I'm so grateful that we don't have it in our nation. We should pray for those who face war. But if war came, you'd want to be trained, wouldn't you? If you had to go, some of us would have to go, some of us would maybe not have to go. But if you had to go, you'd want to be trained. You'd work so hard to make sure that you were equipped and ready to fight. You'd be asking extra questions to your officer. Please tell me, how can I survive? And yet, the one weapon of our warfare, the Bible, is so often neglected for Christians. If we want to live in the freedom that Christ has won for us, we need to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Bible. If it's getting dusty on a shelf, that's your weapon. That's your weapon. How are you going to live a victorious life? I know a number of people, from talking and hearing, a number of people began a Bible reading plan in the new year. Now's the time when it starts to get hard. I've just started Exodus this morning. The beginning of Exodus is okay, but then it gets a little bit hard. About Exodus 20, 21, gets a little bit harder. I need to be committed to it. And I want to encourage you, if you started a Bible reading plan and you're struggling, get going again. If you're not reading the Bible at all, this is not condemnation, but I want to encourage you, this is your weapon of warfare. And you need to get it in. You need to seek to grow in understanding. You need to be reading it daily. And there's many apps, there's many different ways you can do it. There's lots of opportunities. If you want to know how to do it and you're struggling, just talk to the person next to you at the end or talk to me. Ask, I want to do this. We need to read the Bible. But, so Jesus goes, and it says he goes and he is full of the Holy Spirit. He goes into the wilderness, he's full of the Holy Spirit. But verse 14, when he returns, it says something slightly different. It says he returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went full of the Holy Spirit, and he comes back from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Overcoming temptation led to power in Jesus' life. And it's so important that when we're dealing with that we are dealing with temptation in our lives. It's there every day, knocking on your door, dropping in your head. And it's so important. If we want to live a life of freedom, and we want to enjoy the freedom that Jesus has given to us, we need to be dealing with temptation in our lives, dealing with sin. We need people who can keep us accountable, who can ask hard questions of us. Otherwise, it's a bit like this. It's a bit like Jesus breaks the chains of our bondage, sets us free, and then we say, hold on, I still need that. I'll plonk that back on my leg. I've lived with that all my life. We need to constantly be making sure that chain is not on our leg, that we are not chained. And God will help us. The Holy Spirit will help us do that. Amen. Full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus overcame temptation. Full of the Holy Spirit. And then he experienced the power. So we have Jesus, fully human, fully God. Full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And did the amazing wonders and miracles he did through the Holy Spirit. Luke 5, verse 17 says, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. What does that mean? It means at that time, God's power was with him to heal. What does it also mean that God's power wasn't always with him to heal? It means that God, that Jesus, as he walked the earth, he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the miracles that he did. And that has an implication for us. The Holy Spirit was key to all Jesus did. He gave himself to the Father's plan, and the Spirit enabled him to do the Father's plan, to follow it. Something called salvation history. And it's about the Bible. It's about this story of how God breaks into humanity. He doesn't suddenly start page one, here's Jesus. Actually, it's a story of revelation that grows. Promises to Abraham, promises to David, and it grows through time. But there's something about an order here. And we might expect that with an explosion of Holy Spirit activity as Jesus is born, we might expect that this would continue through his ministry. We might expect everyone he goes past, suddenly they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't happen like that. It's quite strange, actually, when you think about it. And it's only as Jesus prepares his disciples for his departure, and he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Can you imagine being there? Sorry? What did you say? It's to my advantage that you... I followed you for 3 years and now you're saying it's better that you go away. Why was it better? Because the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come to you and live inside of you. When Jesus departed, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could not be given to the disciples until Jesus had departed. The amazing prophecies of the Old Testament about God pouring his Spirit on all people, about people's hearts of stone turning to hearts of flesh, could only be fulfilled when Jesus departed. So Jesus, as he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he took upon himself my sin and yours on the cross. And as he did that, he was opening the way for our lives to be transformed by the Spirit. He was removing the barrier that our sin brings between us and God, so that the Holy Spirit could come and fill our bodies. In the Old Testament, there was the temple, and the temple was the place that God came and filled by his presence. And like God came and filled that physical building with his presence, and as those items in the house were purified and made ready for worship, and then God came and filled that place, God came and removed our sin and our barriers to him, came and cleansed us so that we could be clean, so that he could come and live inside of us. It's amazing, isn't it? We're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus looked defeated, crucified on the cross, his side pierced and then buried in the tomb, he was clearly dead. But the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, TJ, for reminding us. And that power is alive in us. After 40 days, he made appearances to disciples. He made an appearance to over 500 people on one occasion. And then, as he'd prepared them, he departed. He was taken up. And he remained seated at the right hand of God until he returns. But it's only as Jesus left, it's only as Jesus went, that then the Holy Spirit came. And the difference between Jesus being a man, limitations of a human body, one place, one time, when the Holy Spirit came, he could fill all of those who called Jesus their Lord and Saviour. As we meet here, there's people who are still waking up in the morning over in America, scratching their heads, thinking, what day is it? Preparing to go to church. There's those who have already worshipped, those who are probably going to bed now on the other side of the world. And yet the Spirit is at work in all of them. The Spirit's at work in, you know, whatever Christian there is somewhere in the North Pole, and if there's anyone in the I don't know who lives in the Antarctic. But God's Spirit can be everywhere. Next Sunday we're going to look at that moment, that watershed moment when God's Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. But this morning I think there's a challenge to look afresh at our lives. To be a Christian is very simply to be a follower of Jesus. To seek to live how he lived. To love how he loved. To say, not my way, but yours. That's what it means to be a Christian. So there's three questions I want to ask this morning about how we're responding to God. And the first is, are you fighting against temptation? We all face temptation, all of us. And there are times when we find it easier to fight, and there are times when we find it more difficult. If you're tired, you're disappointed, you're angry, you're frustrated, it's very hard to fight temptation. But the question this morning, I quite like this, temptation is not sin, but it's a call to battle. It's not sinful to be tempted, but it's sinful to give in. And how are you doing right now in your battles against temptation? Just think, how am I doing? If you're struggling, how are you looking to fight back? Okay, today is not a morning of condemnation, but if you're struggling, there's something you need to do. There's something you need to do to fight back. It might be within yourself. You think, I'm not strong enough. Ask someone to help you. Come up and ask someone. Say, I don't feel strong enough to fight this. I'm struggling. Help me. Pray for me. Hold me accountable. It's so key. Embrace the power of it. To talk to someone about it. You may think, oh, they'll reject me. You know what? We all struggle with sin. Let's share with each other. Secondly, are you growing in your Bible knowledge? It's not just about regularly reading the Bible, although that's a very good starting place. But are you learning scripture to win the battle? Jesus, when he was tempted, didn't think, where's that? Hold on. I've got to find it. Where's that? Get the scrolls out. He knew scripture. He knew. And the scriptures we can all learn to help us in our battles, in the things that we struggle with. Struggle with rejection. Find scriptures that tell you you're a child of God. It's not by man's choice. It's by his work. They struggle with condemnation. Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. There is scripture here that we can put into our heart. And then when we feel bad, when we feel rubbish, we can say, this is how I feel, but this is the truth. And that's, you know, we're our culture who rely on our feelings way too much. We rely on those feelings and we try and create opportunity to get those nice feelings. And actually, what we most need is truth. We need the truth and we need to say, this is what matters, not what I'm feeling. Finally, are you asking the Holy Spirit to lead you? Last week, I was with a number of church leaders from the UK, and we were praying and meeting and various things. And one of the prophetic words that came to us and was powerful, one of the guys who leads the church in Hull, he was talking about, he found a cushion somewhere lying around, and he said, you know, I was brought up in an Anglican church. You know, the very way the church was built, the structure of the church, meant that there was one of these on the back of every chair. One of these on the back of every chair. And that very nature of saying, actually, we bow the knee, says something about that it's about God. And he said, it's so often we make our plans and we say, God, would you bless my plans? Rather than saying, God, what's your plan? I want to submit to you. I found that so challenging. I thought, how easy is it to say, God, I want to do this. Would you bless it? Or to say, actually, God, I'm your servant. Would you use me today for your purposes? Not my will, but yours be done. And that's what it is about being led by the Spirit. Are we really open to God leading us? Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into a time of testing. Are you up for God to lead you somewhere that feels more difficult? Do we sometimes reject God's leading because it feels uncomfortable to follow his leading? We can probably all say yes to that, can't we? This morning is not a morning of condemnation, but it's an opportunity to come before God and say, God, I want you to lead me again. I want to have faith to stand up for you when I find it difficult. I want to have faith to pray for someone who's sick when I feel like I have no faith. God sent his Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and to equip us and empower us to follow Jesus, to say no to temptation, to discover more of him through his word, to follow his leading into the paths that he has for us, paths of joy and peace. Let's stir us afresh. Why don't we stand up? I'll invite the band back. Let's take a moment to still our hearts. You know where God's been prompting you in your spirit, where he's challenging you. There might be many areas, but why don't you just say to God, God, Lord, Saviour, what would you like me to do? Where specifically are you challenging me today? And where would you like me to make change? Lord, we want to be a people who are led by your Spirit. We want to follow where you lead us. Lord, because we know wherever that is, that's part of your plans and that's the safest place for us to be, where you lead us. Lord, we want to say no to the rubbish that comes our way. We want to say no to those temptations. We want to live victorious lives over sin. And Lord, we want to discover more of you through your word. We want to be amazed and stand in awe and wonder at you, our amazing Saviour and God. We pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and do a work in us? Would you come strengthen weak arms? Would you come renew minds that have been plagued by condemnation? and renew minds. And Lord, would you lead us out from this place in the power of your Spirit, Lord, to a world that is broken and in need of healing and in need of a Saviour. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a song to finish, which talks about you're always fighting for us. But it was the line that kind of comes, I don't know, second verse, partway through, and it talks about, let your glory fill this temple. It's about his presence. Lord, would your glory fill this temple? Not just us individually, but this temple, his people here. Would your glory fill this temple? So that's kind of where I was led to this. But let's sing this and just respond to God in your heart as you sing.